I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Alex Sanfilippo. And I got to tell you, this is an episode I've been looking forward to. Alex is a pioneer in the podcasting space. He's the founder of Podmatch, which is, think of it as a dating service to connect hosts with guests. And it's amazing. I've been using it for a number of years. If you're in business, you should be on Podmatch. And we're going to talk about why. But through Podmatch and his podcast titled Podcasting Made Simple, Alex helps independent podcasters grow their influence and revenue so they can better serve listeners. Alex, welcome.
Craig, thank you so much for having me today. It's an honor to be here with you.
Well, thank you. I've been so excited because, you know, you're one of those people that's really put your fingerprint on an industry that's big. And it's, you know, it's interesting. Podmatch isn't the only dating service out there, but it's like the standard. And it's the one everybody talks about. And it's just amazing. But let's kind of back up. How did you get into podcasting?
Yeah, so podcasting is something I never saw on my radar, Craig. And I should just say thank you for the kind words about Podmatch. It means a ton. And for listeners, we'll get into a bit more today, I'm sure, without trying to sound salesy, like so you can understand what it is. But I never saw podcasting as something that I'd be doing. And as a matter of fact, if I can kind of go back to my childhood, and if that's okay, Craig, to share a story, if that would be okay with you,
a little bit
of background here. Growing up, I really, really struggled to read and to write, so much that my mom finally was like, "Hey, we need to take this kid to a doctor to find out what's going on here." And turns out I was severely dyslexic. And that stuck with me my childhood really a lot. And that actually ended up requiring me to be homeschooled. And to this day, I still thank my mother. She is a saint. And I'm very grateful for her sacrifice to be willing to do that. But I was 12, almost 13 years old before I actually started being able to figure out how to read words on a page. And writing to this day, thank God for things like computers. But when I was still to this day, if I handwrite something and someone watching me write, people will be like, will laugh and be like, "Why are you writing it like that? Like, you're doing all your letters backwards." And to this day, it's just how it makes sense in my head. And I learned to kind of cope with what I needed to. And it built some insecurities in me at a young age of realizing, okay, like writing, reading, like especially reading publicly, right? Like speaking, any of these type of things are not going to be my future. And I, thankfully I was like good at math. So I just assumed I'd be like an analytical type and I'd be able to run with numbers really well. But when it came to, again, reading, writing, or anything associated with that, that wouldn't be the case. And I kind of held that there. And my mom was always, and dad, they were very supportive. They were always like, "Hey, you can do whatever you want," right? Like, so I didn't have that from anybody aside from my own grades and my own performance. So it was very internal, but man, that really hindered me a lot. And I'll never forget it. This was going back to 2014. It was the first day I started podcasting. I decided I wanted to talk a little bit. And it's because when I was around people, they're like, "Hey, you've got like a really powerful message." And so I started like writing it a little bit and sending it to people. And I kept on hearing like, this really resonates with me. Like, can you share, elaborate more? Ultimately led me to starting a podcast. And I was terrified to do this. And I didn't want to share it with anybody unless they asked for it. So it was kind of like a podcast, Craig, but it was like private, it felt like, right? I wasn't letting people see it or anything like that. Because I didn't want the public shame of people being like, "You can't communicate well, like you don't speak clearly, your writing is awful," right? Like I just, for some reason, had this complex knowing that that's what would happen. That wasn't the case. It turns out as the word starting out there, people would share it and people would spread the word about it. And it really resonated with people. And shortly after this, like I'm making this story kind of condensed here for the sake of time. But I got offered the opportunity to speak on stage, and the same thing went through my head. It's like, no, I'm not. That's not me. I can't do that. People are going to see it. People are going to be there. I kind of just did what I define as like the business owner's role, which is to take courage. And courage means being afraid than doing what you have to do anyway. And I just felt that, you know what, I need to take this opportunity. I need to do this. So I got on that stage and I loved it. That's ultimately not what it was about, but I ended up being the top rated speaker at that conference. And
Wow. What was the conference?
it was a WordPress conference. So it was all like around WordPress and stuff. So I was at that point back in the day of podcasting, like I was using WordPress for the podcast and for all my written stuff. Like those were like one of the few options out there. And so I spoke and it, unbelievable. Like everyone wanted to talk to me, like, and I was so grateful. And I was like, wow, really? And then like it kind of shattered all the stuff inside me of all these insecurities of being like, hey, you can't do any of this. I'm like, okay, well, I started writing, I started speaking like through podcasts, and I started speaking on stages, and like I'm getting really good feedback and it's actually helping people. Maybe I'm wrong about myself. And that's a long story there, Craig, but that's what got me into this podcasting thing. I fell in love with the medium at that point, even though it was just really part-time. I had a corporate job at that point and stuff, but it was really my creative outlet. It was my way to share my message beyond what my work was about.
And you know, when you're telling your story, it reminded me of a frustration I had when I was waking up from my coma. I had a trach and I couldn't talk, and they gave my wife a little letter card, and the idea was I would spell out words so she would understand, but everything was coming out as gibberish. And I was frustrated because I was trying to communicate needs. She couldn't understand me. And I wonder, is did you feel any of that, when you were first struggling with dyslexia?
Definitely. I mean, I think that frustration, and I even as a kid, I think I had some anger issues. Nothing like diagnosed. I wasn't like punching walls or anything like that. But I feel like I was angry a lot. And I think the frustration purely came from the fact that I couldn't say what I wanted to say. And no matter how hard I tried in school growing up, I never got good grades. And so if you look back at my grades, I was a C D student. And the thing is, any teacher I had along the way, my mom being the primary, like my mom homeschooling me, but the other teacher she brought in, they all said, like, I feel so bad for this guy. Like he is trying harder than any other student. He just can't get it. Like he's just not able to. And so, like again, like that was a defeated feeling. So the frustration, the anger, it was there. And all again, mostly internal. It very rarely presented itself. I became like a big time introvert at that point, even though like naturally, now I've stepped into like really who I am. I'm an extrovert. I'm energized by people. I love being out there. I love communicating and talking. But at that point, I just suppressed, I think, who I really was for so many years. And I mean, you sharing that story just brings back like triggers like me trying to communicate things I couldn't communicate. I can't imagine as an adult what that felt like with you going through that.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Now, I was so weak at the time, I gave up quickly. I was just like, I mean, I couldn't lift my arms or legs at the time, but I think a lot of business owners are dyslexic. I'll tell you one. Are you familiar with the business 1-800 Got Junk?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so Brian Scudamore, who started that, his dad was an attorney. I don't think he was as fortunate as you that, be homeschooled and what have you. He wasn't diagnosed. And so his dad sends him to college, of course, wants him to go to college. The guy drops out of college and buys a beat up pickup for $1,600 and starts hauling junk. I mean, can you imagine the disappointment that his dad was probably showering
Oh
with?
my goodness, I never thought about that. I cannot imagine what that dad felt like. Like, wait, you're taking out people's trash and I paid for your college, right?
Yeah. But he just couldn't process in the world of education. But obviously, he's a brilliant guy. He's built 1-800 Got Junk's almost a $1 billion business. And so it's just about figuring out how he could operate in this world with his dyslexia.
Yeah, I think the same was for me. And at this point in my life, it's weird to say, but I feel like that's behind me. I'm healed from it. I mean, listen, if you want to go spiritual, like I feel like God healed that at some point in my life, and I don't really struggle that way anymore. How, why, I can't explain or express that. I know that's not what we're here for today, but learning to play to your strengths and to not listen to maybe what society says about like, hey, based on you, this is how you should live, right? Like not listening to those voices or your own internal voice that's negative or wrong. Overcoming those things, I'm telling you, like that is what makes a difference. And I know the business owners that listen to leaders and legacies, like we get this. Like we understand that there is going to be some sort of opposition, some sort of opponent we have to overcome. And typically it starts with ourselves.
Yeah. So let's talk about podcasting. So, and I'll tell you how I first heard about PodMatch was I was in a mastermind and somebody talked about how they were going out and getting on podcasts. And she had set some goal. And I said, well, how do you find them? And she'd mentioned PodMatch. And initially I thought, okay, I just want to be a guest. And I was a very reluctant host. Somebody was trying to talk me into hosting. I'm like, no, I'm just going to guest. But the let's start with guesting first. Here's what I found is once I got 30 podcasts under my belt, my message started becoming a lot more clear. So what, I mean, you see the whole world. You deal with a lot of podcasters. You see this. What does that resonate?
Absolutely. And you know what? Real quick for everybody listening, I'm going to call out a previous episode of your show. I listen to your show as well. I like to think I'm a leader and I want to leave a legacy. So this was a good show for me to listen to. But you recently had Michelle Griffin on, and it was July 17th, 2025. And she talked about owning your lane. And one of her big points was just start speaking, like start communicating your message, start getting out there. And listen, I encourage everybody go back and listen to that episode after this one. Like, cue that one up next because I think it's a great follow-up to what we're talking about here. But to quickly answer your question, Greg, like, that's how you become more well-spoken as you speak. I mean, you can read books till you're blue in the face, right? Like, you can just read all day, all the perfect tactics, but until you do it, it doesn't really matter. This is kind of like an off-topic example, but I think of Brandon Turner, which is one of the most successful real estate investors and flippers and authors of all time. And he even says in his books, like, he's got 5 of the 10 most successful real estate books. And he says, you will learn a lot from this book, but you will learn more from the first time you finally do it. And he talks about his first flip. He learned more in that than all of his research and education before that. And I think the same is true for us. Like, we're going to learn more about ourselves as we use our voice, as we communicate, as we speak. And I think podcasting in my mind is the best way to do that because really, Craig, I don't know what your next question is going to be. I don't. And I got to learn to be on my feet. And same with you after 30 episodes, which, by the way, not many people ever get on 30 episodes of different on shows as a guest. So congratulations on that. I imagine the fourth, fifth one, you're like, oh, wow, I've never been asked this in my life or thought about it before, right?
Yeah, and that's exactly the thing. I mean, if you go on and you just do like regular stage speaking, you control the script. You don't know if it was a success until you're done. I mean, you get a little bit of visual feedback from the audience. But I think one of the great things about podcasting is it's very dynamic. And honestly, when I'm hosting a show, I have a rough outline in my head, but I don't hold to that too tightly. Somebody will say something, and I'm like, well, that's interesting. Let's explore that.
Yeah, I think that's rare as a host, but I actually really, really appreciate that because I think that more important than our agenda as a host is the actual narrative that's being created through the podcast. I'll never forget, I was on a podcast where the guy had like, he had his plan for the episode, but we got right into it and immediately I said something that he could tell was interesting. We went down this totally different path. He didn't get to a single one of his questions. And he's like, it was a great episode. It's perfect. I'm like, I respect that. And that it was just a great conversation. And I think it's really cool that you don't get so married to like, these are the 5 questions I'm going to ask. And if I can't ask them, we're not going to do this episode, right? Like, I think that that's just a really good thing to be able to do. And on the flip side, sometimes when you're a guest, the host does want to ask you, hey, these are the questions I'm going to ask you for sure, which does require us as guests to get a little bit creative with our message. Like, how do we still get some sort of story or narrative throughout this conversation? So I love that you do that as a host, but also as a guest. I think that there's value in both sides of it, really.
Well, I think it comes back to this. It's, and you and I were talking about this in the green room. Podcasting is a conversational medium. It's not a presentational medium, it's a conversational medium. And I don't, you probably, I'm interested in your take on this actually, because I look at what works. I don't fully understand why, but I just know that what works tends to be more conversational. Do you understand why?
Yeah, I think that. So I know we call it like even on PodMatch, we call it a podcast interview, but the reality is it's a podcast conversation that just doesn't really flow as well or as a lot of people search for. But an interview feels like a bit of an interrogation. And there are some shows that do really well with like full on interviews. Here are the 10 questions I'm going to ask you today, Craig, right? Like they can do okay with that. But people who listen to podcasts, they want to be part of a conversation with people that know more than they do on a topic or just something they're curious about hearing. And that's why if you look at all the top podcasts, they're not strict like this is an interview. They are a conversational vibe. That's what people like to hear. I mean, here's the thing. Like, no one's ever wanted to eavesdrop in an interview, like a job interview. No one's been like, well, I wonder what they're saying in there. Like, no one cares about that. But there's plenty of times where you hear a conversation going on next to you at a table and you're like, kind of interested in what they're talking about, right? Like, it's just our human nature. And so I think that a conversation, in my mind, is just, it's a better way to release an episode of a podcast because it's actually what people like to consume.
Yeah. I live 13 minutes from Joe Rogan.
Okay.
in 14 minutes, the van parked across the street could have the guys coming out to pull me off the gate. But what's really interesting, and I just saw a new headline like in the last 24 hours where he got dethroned from number one. There's somebody that just passed him. But what's really interesting is the guy just gets on there and has a conversation. And he says, you know, the reason he runs a 3-hour episode is it takes him a while to get to kind of unravel the things and get the person relaxed. I'm not yet bold enough to run a 3-hour episode, but
I'm not bold enough to be on a 3-hour episode yet. So I'm okay with that.
But I think, you know, and what you said was you don't know what questions are coming. I think that's really good. You know, and I think it's, you know, it lets you stand in the line of fire, you know, and with somebody who's not there to make you look stupid, hopefully. I think most
hopefully,
hosts.
Yes. I had that happen one time. Somebody showed up for that reason. It was my fault. That's what he does with all of his guests. And this is before I used to listen to shows before I go on them. And that's the reason I started listening is because he was there to make people look and feel stupid. And that was the point of his show. So anyway,
wow.
Word to the wise, if you want to be a guest on a podcast, make sure you listen first because that will let you know what you're getting yourself into. So there's a little side note.
Why? That's so bizarre. Why did he think that was a winning formula?
To this day, don't know, Craig, but I can't even think about that. All I can think of is why did I put myself in that situation, right? Like that's my fault for saying, yeah, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah, that's so bizarre. That's just bizarre. Wow.
That's one experience I've been over 700 shows as a guest, and that was the only experience like that. The other 699 plus have been, you're right. The host wants to elevate what you do and leverage it in a way that's going to serve somebody else. And again, I think that is the absolute, like at the core, that is the beauty of podcast guesting. The hidden value is the fact that I learn my own message better. I learn to articulate better. I learn to share in a way that actually inspires and informs somebody else. To me, that's the real power behind what we're doing. Like, listen, if it grows the business and stuff, fine. Like, sure. But the real power is what's happening to me internally.
One of the first episodes I guested on, the guy fired down the list of questions. And it was just like question after question after question after question. And then he's like, all right, thank you. And then the Zoom link dies. And I was like, oh my goodness, we got cut off. And so like I email him, I'm like, hey, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened. We got cut off. He's like, no, that was the end of the episode. It was so bizarre.
Oh no. But hey, listen, again, that is a weird experience and not my favorite, probably a show that will never be too big. But as a guest, that's actually a good experience for you to again, just be able to do that whole point and thing, like maybe a little bit weird, but still something that makes you better at what you do.
But yeah.
I have not had that one happen. That's a new one.
Yeah. So, and I'll tell you, you know, come in, there was something else you said. You talked about it's an opportunity to learn. You know, I invite guests on sometimes just because, I don't know, I'm kind of interested in what they're doing. I want to understand it better. And I'll tell you, there was somebody that connected to me on Podmatch that I almost rejected because they didn't fit our ideal guest profile. And about 30 seconds later, I was dope slapping myself. It was John Hewitt, the founder of Jackson Hewitt Tax Services.
Wow. Okay.
Who also founded Liberty Tax Services when the board ousted him from. And I sat there, and I was like, Craig, you're stupid. Here's just this amazingly successful guy. Why don't you get on and talk to him? You might learn something. And he was an amazing guest. And that's one of the other things I think is great about podcasting that you mentioned is it's an opportunity for you to learn things. You can invite some of the brightest minds in the world about what they do and they'll come tell you about it, and you'll learn
You
as a
know that
host.
as a host, I like to say that like I'm my first listener as a host. Like you really are. You're the first person to hear the episode. And so you're your own first listener. And it doesn't mean you just do it for yourself, although you probably could if it's all about your own self-development. But for me, what I decided when I started my original show going back is it was for me to learn from other people. But my curiosity, I was gonna make sure I position that to also be good for other people that were listening. I'll tell you what, like I learned how to become an entrepreneur from my own podcast. I learned it from the people I brought on. I was curious. And sometimes, like you said, there's people that I'm like, not really a great fit. I'm like, but I'm very intrigued by this. And what I learned is my listeners, they like to learn things that Alex likes to learn. And they're hanging out because they enjoyed me as a host. So I'm right there with you. I've had some off-topic things, if you will, that they don't necessarily fit the mold of what my shows have been about and stuff like that in the past. But man, people seem to enjoy it anyway because it's like, oh wow, this I learned from this. And it was really an interesting topic. And it's cool to know that Alex thinks about that too.
Yeah. Now, there are people listening that think, okay, yeah, my business should probably be doing podcasting. I should probably be guesting, but I don't want to guest. I'm going to go find somebody else in the company to go do guesting. What would you say to them?
It goes back to what we just talked about, Craig, but I think that you learning to articulate your message well is just so important. If you have any leverage in your company, any influence, you're in that role where you're communicating internally as well, you being the one that is the guest is going to help elevate that. One, I imagine your staff, your employees, the people, maybe even your clients, they're going to want to hear what you have to say. They're going to want to hear it through a podcast, but also in person, that builds so much more confidence for people to have in you, getting to hear you, that feels like they know you more and better. And so for me, like, yeah, it might not be what you feel like you want. Let's go back to my story of being dyslexic. Like, I certainly didn't want to be a guest the first time I got asked to. I'm like, I'm having enough trouble with my own podcast, right? But doing it built this greater sense of connection between me and the people that, once again, I was serving, whether it was in my company or not. And listen, I can't tell people what to do, but I think it should be you. If you're in that role, you have that, you're that leader. You're wanting to build the legacy. I wouldn't delegate this. This to me is that frontline communication that is so important that us as leaders maintain and keep.
Yeah. I had a guest once, a very dynamic fellow, somebody who's personal friends with Dave Ramsey. And we record the interview and we stop recording and I'm talking to him. And I'm like, hey, are you all right? All right. And he was like, yeah, I'm fine. He said, and what it was I think he's actually a little bit of an introvert. And when he shows up for the podcast, he pulls out that introvert extroverted self. And when the episode's over, he's done. I mean, he's just like wiped out.
Depleted, right? That's it.
And that happens. I mean, and I would say if you're that type of person, it's okay. I mean, but still, just figure out how to turn it on for 20, 30 minutes, however long the episode is, and you'll be fine. But it's a great way, as you keep saying, of getting your message out and refining your message.
Yeah. And on top of that, you don't have to be somebody you're not. So don't feel like you have to be like, Craig, you and I think I'm a little louder than you, but we're both like, we talk fast, we talk loud, we get excited, we're very enthusiastic about what we talk about. And I think that's cool. If that's not you, don't be that because people that are going to resonate with you, they want to know the real you. And a perfect example of this is Pat Flynn. He's a legend in the podcasting space and has done really smart, really well with his Smart Passive Income podcast and brand. And he's very open. Like, I'm an introvert. I don't really enjoy talking. Like, all these things, right? He's very vocal about that. And he shows up with the right amount of energy, not too much that he's pretending to be someone he's not. But when you meet him in person, you feel like, oh, this is like having Pat on my podcast, right? So he's not going to laugh a whole lot. He's going to be there, not super serious or anything like that. He's going to have a good time, but you know what you get. And he's done this, I don't know how many thousands of times at this point. And so I would remind people, like, be who you are, but to Craig's wisdom there is to also make sure that you turn it on enough that it's going to have some sort of personality behind it. Those are really important points when it comes to either side of the microphone, being a host or a guest. Like, you got to figure out how to turn it on a little bit.
So, speaking of personality, what's your take on Lex? Because Lex is like Mr. Monotone, Mr. Monotone, but he has an amazingly successful podcast.
Lex Friedman, right? Is
Yeah.
it, yeah. Okay. So it's not my style because of that. Like, it's not really, he asks some really good stuff. And so I think he leans really heavy on, like, I'm going to ask the right thing so it'll be worth it. I've listened a few times and it's good. Like, I will say it's good. It's just not my pace. I like a little bit louder, a little bit more crazy, I guess. I don't know. It's more my flow. I think that's the beauty of it, though. Like, if Lex heard this right now, he'd be like, cool, that's not my ideal listener. And he'd be perfectly fine with that, right? And just like someone else I do listen to would be like, wow, cool. I like that Alex listens, and that's the personality I'm going for. So that's kind of the beauty of it. There's no one size fits all.
So let's talk about hosting. And I mentioned I was a reluctant host. I've been reluctant about a number of things I've done that ended up being good. I'm really glad I started hosting. Why should business owners host a podcast?
So there are so many reasons here, but I'm going to mention maybe like the, I'll go back, I mentioned the hidden value like of podcast guesting, right? Is your own self-discovery. As a host, what I'll mention is that even if not one person ever listens, there is the SEO and now the large language model AI benefit of it. You are getting backlinks from Amazon, Apple, Google, YouTube. Thousands of places where your podcast ultimately gets posted, and all of those go back to your domain as long as you're mentioning your domain within it somewhere, right? Like mentioning the, I always say like put it in the description. For me, it's even in the who hosts the podcast is Alex Sanfilippo and Podmatch. Yeah. So like you put it anywhere you can without word stuffing it too much. But the thing is, it will increase your website's visibility across the board because now all these really high authority domains are saying, yeah, this person's legit. They have a podcast. So that's like just on the side there, like that is one thing that it's going to do. It's going to help you be more discoverable online. And I think that that is a, to me, that's a really big benefit, Craig. I don't know if you have any thoughts here. What has it done for you as a podcaster? Because you finally obviously decided, okay, I'm starting Leaders and Legacies. Like what's one thing they did for you, if you don't want me asking?
Yeah, and so I forget where we are. I think this is episode 220 or so.
You got a few under your belt at this point, huh?
Yeah. And it's funny, I don't listen to the early episodes. It's too cringy.
I do this.
But
I don't listen to mine either, by the way. Sorry, I don't mean to interject, but I had to share that.
I mean, for me, it's done a few things for me. It one, I think the networking aspect of it is huge. You know, you're meeting with other thought leaders, you're meeting with different people, and there are so many people that we've never met. I would have never met John Hewitt, you know, founder of the only two national chains to compete against H&R Block. We've never met John if it hadn't been for the podcast. So many other people that I would have never met. And so from the networking standpoint, I'd say it's awesome. But the other thing is, I think for anybody to be good in business, you have to be able to talk to people and extract truths from them and figure out how to ask questions while keeping them comfortable. And it's I mean, I think that's done that for me in spades.
Yeah. Someone recently asked me, like, Alex, if you wanted to go back and get a corporate job, do you think you'd still be good at interviewing since you've been an entrepreneur for so long? I'm like, so me being the interviewee, they're saying, I'm like, yeah, I think I'd actually be really good at it now. Like, just from podcasting, like, I've been on both sides of it, right? And so from being a podcast host, though, like, you learn how to like ask questions and follow up with it. Like, that puts you on either side of the interview process, like, really, really solid positioning, right? Like, so I think that from that regards, it's super healthy. But you also talk about like the connections you build, the relationships that get formed. I have a friend, a different person, who says that his podcast is his business card. He's like, just come to my show, we'll talk there and see how it goes. And he also refers to podcasting as the new golf. He's like, you know, it's how we have, like, we build the rapport, we build this relationship. It gets you access to people that you're never gonna have access to. You're gonna meet people that you never thought you'd be able to meet. You're gonna meet people that you never knew you wanted or needed to meet. And all that stuff happens by having a podcast, by having the platform. You're telling people, hey, I've got a space for us to have a really high level conversation that is going to serve both of us and other people as well. I don't know if there's anything better than that, Craig. Like, in my mind, I'm glad you brought that up. I don't know if there's anything that compares with that, though.
Yeah. So one of the things that would keep people from podcasting is they think, oh my goodness, I need to put together a big production studio. I need to do all of this. And there are people that do. How would you respond to that?
I felt that way when I got started, Craig. It was just my insecurities holding me back. But I've actually found that people that seem to do the best are the people that are podcasting out of their home, whether you're a guest or host. Like, I don't mean have like a dirty background, right? Like, keep the place somewhat clean if you can, right? But the reality is, people resonate with seeing a living room, with seeing a kitchen. I have a friend, and She has like a mom lifestyle podcast, and she podcasts in her kitchen. I was like, "What made you decide to do it in the kitchen?" She goes, "Oh, that's where most of my listeners hang out." She's like,
Yeah.
"They're in the kitchen. They're homemakers." And I was like, "Oh, well, that's brilliant, right?" Like, imagine if she had like a $15,000 studio. That no longer resonates with her ideal listener. I'm like, "Brilliant. Like, meet them where they are." And I think that
Yeah.
more than ever, people want the human element. Like, listen, I have a really simple setup. I've got like two LED lights hitting a gray wall and some other lighting and stuff just so I don't disappear into it. You're in an office in your home. And again, I think that resonates with people more than having like the really fancy studio. Now, granted, if you're trying to be like a TikTok or Instagram or YouTube star, then sure, maybe you need all that. But the reality is, I don't know if that connects better with people or just gets you like quote unquote viral content. And those aren't the same thing usually. So for me, I just tell people, start with what you have, where you are. What matters most is the message. No one
Yeah.
who hears your message and resonates with it and it really impacts them is going to be like, "Oh, but I wish he didn't have that door closed behind him." Like, no one's ever going to say that, right?
Well, in fairness, this is temporary. I typically have a blue curtain behind me, and I think I mentioned that we're selling the house, and the realtors hate anything that looks lived in.
Right.
And so they're like, yeah, get rid of the blue curtain. Yeah, I had the desk 90 degrees and what have you. So this is kind of temporary, but
I like it though. I'm just telling you, I personally, I like it. I think it looks good.
yeah. Well, thank you. So let's talk about Podmatch. And I describe it as it's kind of like a dating app. I don't know if you like that description or what, but that's kind of how it clicked in my head.
Yeah, I think that that's how it clicked in most people's heads. Granted, I've been married too long to ever have used a dating app, Craig, but I believe it works the same way. We kind of modeled it off of multiple dating apps when we built it. So basically, it's a service that connects podcast guests and hosts for interviews based on all the administrative stuff. So like the language you speak, your availability, how long you're available for, all that type of stuff, right? So it's got all the administrative stuff, but also it's going to look at who you are as a person and who the podcast is. And it'll basically determine, okay, these two might be a good fit. Let's put them in front of each other, let them message back and forth and hash out themselves to figure out if it's the right fit. Again, more or less a dating app, but that connects podcast guests and hosts for conversations more than anything else.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, when I my first year, when I decided to start guesting, my wife wasn't working at the time, and so I turned her into my booking agent. And
Nice.
we came up with a script, and I think it was March of 22 or 23, I forget which, that we started, and by the end of the year, I was on 70 podcasts.
Wow, she should do this professionally. That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just the numbers, we just looked at this. The average podcast guest gets on 1.2 shows per month, the people that are actively pursuing it. So that's, let's just say 13 or 14 a year total is what people can expect out of podcast guesting. So clearly your wife has done a good job with being a booking agent, better than probably real professional booking agents. So good job to her.
Well, we thought about doing that. It was like, hey, maybe this could be a little sidecar for the business because she did really well. But you know what we found? I'll tell you, the script that we used, I'm trying to remember. Actually, I think it was from some training that you provided. I'm reaching
Okay.
back a few years because I think you put together something about getting booked on podcasts.
I definitely did. Yeah, in 2022, I believe, is when I created that source and kind of had updated from time to time. But yeah, I have a very specific framework that I've used and it's worked really well for me. So maybe that was it. I would love to know that I helped a little bit. I mean, obviously your wife is still the expert, but I'd love to know that I helped a little bit.
No, the more I think about it, I think it was that. I think it was predominantly that. We took a little bit that learned from Pete Vargas, and but here's the thing on the script is if I would say that at least learning from our lessons, if you're trying to get booked on shows, it's about how you can benefit your host. I mean, I had one application come in through Podmatch, and the very first thing he said was, I love to talk. I'm like, oh. And it was, I'm sitting there looking at this, and it was
Oh
like,
no.
it was basically me, 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 me. And I'm like, I'm going to get this guy on the show. He's going to go 40 minutes. I won't be able to get him to shut up, and I won't be able to get any questions in there. And so I never accepted him as a guest.
Yeah, and you shouldn't. I think that there's actually a lesson here for everybody listening. It's like, okay, I'm going to do this podcasting thing. You've got to get, we just call it in the business a pitch, which sounds really salesy. It's not. It's your inbound message to a podcast host. And if you want to be a guest on shows, you're going to have to reach out to host. So if you want to be a guest, you're gonna have to do the work and do the outreach. It's got to be good. Like you can't say, I like to talk. You can't open with that. Like no host wants that. Like I don't know anyone who's like, yeah, heck yeah, that's what I'm looking for, right? Like that's not what we want. We want to see like what's in it for us, what's in it for our listeners, and then you can talk about yourself a little bit.
Yeah. But no, I think it was your script, your training that we went through, and we used that for the model for the outreach.
Very cool. Well, I'm honored to again play a small part, but 70 podcasts is no small feat. So, congratulations on that.
Well, and now of course I was still fairly fresh of coming back from the edge of death, and so that was kind of a hook.
Right.
That was kind of a hook. And I would say that to anybody else that's trying to get booked on shows. I mean, if you're a business coach, if you're an executive coach, there's like 10,000 other people out there that are all trying to get on podcasts. Please come with something more than you're an executive coach. And at least for me, that's it. And the thing that I find is everybody has something interesting in their past that they've probably overlooked that they could leverage to help them get booked on podcasts.
Yeah, I think that the hook, as you said, that's so important. Lead with that, right? I think back to a movie. Did you ever see the movie 21? It was like a blackjack movie.
I don't remember. Yeah.
Anyway, so like it was all about the game blackjack, and this guy was also like at Harvard or something like that, and he wanted to get accepted to a special program where they'd pay for it because he couldn't afford it. And there, he's like, man, there are thousands of kids just as smart as you trying to do this. When he came back, because they're like, you need something that makes you stand out. He talked about how he gambled his way to make enough money to pay for it himself because he wasn't getting the thing, but then lost it all. And it ultimately ended up being like the hook that got him the scholarship. And I know that's movie magic, but you got to have something like that for a host. You got to have something that's like, okay, yeah, you're a business coach. Great. Tell me the story about how you almost died and came back, right? Like, tell me, like, that's the hook. Like, because again, also your listeners, their listeners don't necessarily want to hear from another business coach unless there is some unique perspective in there, a story in there that can make them say, wow, this business coach is unique and they have something different. We all have that. Sometimes it's combining multiple experiences, right? Like, listen, I'm not the only person who come on here, Craig, and talk about podcasting, but I might be the only like severely dyslexic person growing up who thought I would never do this, who decided to make it happen. Maybe. Maybe that's my hook, right? So everyone's got that. It's a matter of doing the internal work to find it.
Yeah. I was prepping one guy to get booked on podcasts, and I kept asking him, like, all right, tell me what's happening in your life. And he's like, look, I've really lived a boring life. And he was Mormon, so there's a lot of credibility, and he's, lived a boring life. And at one point, I just say, you did your mission in Japan. Anybody that's lived in Japan had something happen that in Japan seems perfectly normal, but over here it's wild. And he says, well, there was the day that I had lunch with the Yakuza and they propositioned me to run their prostitution ring. I'm like, dude, you've been sitting on that for the last 90 minutes?
Right? You
You're
found
telling me
it.
you've lived a boring life? You've had lunch with the Yakuza? You know how many people I've met that have had lunch with the Yakuza? None.
Right? That's there it is. Nice job drawing that out. Took 90 minutes, huh?
Yeah, 90 minutes. But no, I think that's it. Everybody has something interesting and they really have to work that into your pitch. Otherwise, well, it's a saying I use in my own business. So I do marketing in commoditized spaces. And I say, when you can't differentiate on what you do, your differentiation is you. If you're a business coach, if you're an executive coach, don't come here and tell me that the way you do it's different. Maybe that's true, but guess what? Everybody else is saying the same thing.
100%. I love that you just said that. Like, what you got to double down on you, right? And you can't just say it. Like, you actually have to have something. Listen, whether you're a podcast guest or host, this is actually good advice. Like, figure out what makes you unique. Figure out like your story. Figure out the hook that you have because that's going to keep people listening. Craig, you do a great job at the beginning of your show talking about this. Like, the first time I went and listened to your show, I was hooked in 30 seconds. Guess what? I didn't even know you had guests on yet. I didn't know that yet. All I did was hear your story, and I was like, this dude is legit, right? Like, that's all it took. And then the rest of them, like, cool, whatever conversation he has, I'm in for. As
Wow.
a guest or host, you gotta have that. And Craig, I think you did, like, just everyone start this podcast episode over and listen to like the beginning or go to another episode after this, but like, just hear what Craig says. That's probably why we're all here today.
Yeah. Well, Alex, we literally could talk for another hour. This has just been amazing. I mean, let me just kind of plug PodMatch from my perspective. I'm a customer. I've been a customer. I am a customer of PodMatch. It is great. It's an amazing platform. And whether you're a host or a guest, it's the place you want to be. I can't recommend it enough. Initially I subscribed to some of your competitors as well, and end up dropping those subscriptions. So I'm there. Our only subscription is PodMatch. So, Alex, how can people reach you?
Yeah, Craig, thank you again for that. The best thing to do is go to podmatch.com/free. I think it'll really further our conversation here today. And whether you're a podcast guest host or aspiring guest or host, like if you haven't even started yet, I'll have 9 ideas for you. It'll kind of categorize them so you can find them, but that's podmatch.com/free. And I don't want your email address or anything like that. It's just my way of saying thank you for hanging out with me and Craig today. So, Craig, thank you again for the kind words, though, man. It seriously means a lot and it's an honor to be here today.
Alex, it's been a delight. Thanks for coming on.
For sure.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. And it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.